Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 15 other major languages. We receive many testimonies from listeners how God, through the teaching of His Word, has transformed their lives. Like this listener from the East African country of Ethiopia, who listens to our Bible teaching programs in the Oromo language. And here's the letter. I'm a regular listener to Heralds of Hope radio program. The Bible teaching program has given me a better understanding of the Bible, and I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ a few years ago. This radio program played a great role in my life for spiritual growth. I love to hear the Word of God daily, but as it is, Heralds of Hope program is presented only once a week. Since I started listening to this program, my spiritual understanding has increased. Finally, I suggest that you ought to add more time. Be blessed. And that's the end of the letter. This listener is requesting that we add additional time to our broadcast, and that's a common suggestion we receive from listeners. Maybe you feel that way too. For many listeners, one 15-minute broadcast once each week is just not enough. They'd like to have more teaching. Well, in order to make the most of our time on today's program, let's turn to God's Word for my teaching from Daniel chapter 6, The Servant of the Living God. The account of Daniel in the lion's den is probably one of the most well-known and best-loved stories in the Bible. It has everything. It has danger, adventure, suspense, and it has a really cool ending. Like the account of David and Goliath, it contains the classic confrontation between good and evil, where good is victorious and evil is defeated. But you know, too often the story plays into faulty theology. If we obey God, then things will go well for us. There are many of us who rightly reject what we call the prosperity gospel, and yet we still fall into this trap. One writer told how she was working at her desk on a Bible commentary. As she was working, a loud motorcycle went roaring down the street, and it broke her concentration. And then her printer jammed, and it overflowed copies from the tray and onto the desktop. Dropbox refused to give her access to a file that she needed. And she found herself thinking, "Seriously, God, I'm trying to do some good work for you. Give me a break." Now, most of us might not say those things aloud, but unless I miss my guess, we've had thoughts like that. So this account in Scripture makes for a great story. But is that all it is? It certainly highlights God's power to protect those who are faithful to Him. But then the writer of Hebrews, who mentions Daniel's deliverance, acknowledges that there were many others who weren't delivered. They lost their lives and they lost their property. We can say with confidence that a godly person's deliverance or lack of it has more to do with God's sovereign plans and not so much with personal circumstances. Now, between chapters 5 and 6 of this book of Daniel, there's a regime change. In the last verse of chapter 5, Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, is killed, and Darius the Mede takes the kingdom. But the connecting link between the two chapters is the faithfulness of Daniel and the favor he enjoys in the halls of government. Remember, in the end of chapter 5, Daniel is elevated to the position of the third ruler of the kingdom. But that meant nothing because the kingdom fell that very night. Now Daniel reappears in the opening verses of chapter 6. In the new administration of Darius, setting the stage for his miraculous deliverance from the lion's den. Since all Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for us, what are we to learn from this very familiar account? Well, I hope you can stay with me as we explore this text under the title, A Servant of the Living God. Now, once again, because this is a lengthy text, I will read only part of it. I will begin at verse 1 and read through verse 10. Now, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these 3 governors, of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them, so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault, because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said thus to him, "King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, so that it cannot be changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter." Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. This text explores several realities that are part of life for anyone who truly wants to be a servant of the living God. The first reality for a servant of the living God is exercise a disciplined life. Now, think back with me, if you will, to the opening chapter of the book of Daniel. It's here that we learn the circumstances of Daniel's arrival in the country of Babylon. A young man, probably a teenager, taken from home and placed in a cultural and religious setting that is hostile to his upbringing. But Daniel and his friends immediately distinguished themselves from the other captive Jewish youth because of their commitment to the God of Israel. And now here, some 60 to 70 years later, we see the results of those earlier commitments that Daniel made. The text opens by explaining Darius' method of governing his far-flung empire. 120 satraps were appointed to oversee the individual provinces. And over the 120 satraps were 3 governors. And Daniel was first among those 3. The reason for this whole arrangement was so that the king wouldn't sustain any damage or loss within his realm. In a kingdom this large, there would almost certainly be men in positions of authority who would be dishonest and self-serving. I want you to notice how quickly Daniel rises to the top of the list. We learned in chapter 5 that Daniel didn't have a place of prominence in Belshazzar's administration, but his reputation was well known. Most likely, some of the lesser officials had served under Belshazzar. Their experience would have been invaluable to Darius and his incoming administration. Daniel's experience and his character paved the way for him. And this is the point of connection between the 2 chapters, chapters 5 and 6. Now, let's zero in on verse 3 and 4 because this is where our first point is found. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault, because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. In other words, Daniel, as a servant of the Lord, lived a well-disciplined life. He's a model for all of us to follow in this regard. Note with me, first of all, that an excellent spirit was in him. It's clear from earlier chapters that Daniel was given supernatural ability from God in the understanding and interpretation of dreams. But he also had exceptional qualities of character that were developed by his years of faithfulness to God and to those whom he served. Recall Daniel's care for those over him. In chapter 1, he didn't want to endanger the steward, so he proposed a 10-day test with a diet of vegetables. It was a win-win proposition. After he interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream in chapter 4, his personal care motivated an appeal for the king to humble himself and escape, or at least postpone, God's coming judgment. How well do you and I care for those who exercise authority over us? Do we only see them as authority figures, as those who can get for us what we want? Are they a means to an end? Or do we see them as equals, as fellow travelers on the path of life? Do we acknowledge that they too have desires for friendship, for appreciation, for acceptance? Is our service, our obedience, given cheerfully, or is it given grudgingly? And you know, Daniel evidently cared well for those under his authority too. How can I say that? Because those who wanted to take his position couldn't find anything by which to accuse him. There was no mistreatment of servants or lesser officials. There was no hint of any inappropriate relationships or any favoritism. There were no shady financial deals or questionable practices. Could the same thing be said for you or for me? My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, The Servant of the Living God. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, The Servant of the Living God. I'd be happy to send one to you. Now, once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, The Servant of the Living God. It's available either in print or on an audio CD. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study, The Servant of the Living God. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.